Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Right Now Weekly Radio Show, hosted by Vicki Winterton, founder of Expert Insights Publishing, home of best-selling books, award-winning magazines, global broadcasts and communities. Right Now is a highly educational, inspiring, and empowering show focused on writing, publishing, and marketing your books, featuring outstanding guests from across the globe, including best-selling authors, world stage speakers, thought leaders, and visionaries with proven strategies, secret formulas, and treasured resources to help you succeed and make an impact. Welcome. Sit back and enjoy the show. And now your host, Vicki Winterton.
Hi, this is Vicki Winterton, and I'm thrilled today because with us we have Lisa Broderick. Lisa is a premier researcher in the field who experiences and studies the world in terms of data, best practices, and quantum science. And she also has a wonderful new bestseller. She'll be sharing information about that with us. It's called All the Time in the World. Lisa, welcome. Thank you so much for being with us.
Vicki, thank you so much for having me.
Lisa, tell us a little bit about how you discovered your passion and purpose in this very interesting and unusual field.
Well, Vicki, years ago when I was very young, I had a death experience. I'll say that. And I didn't talk about it for many decades, but when I was 4, I fell through a plate glass window and I was harmed. I fell through the window and I was impaled on the window. Many, many miles to the hospital, but I do remember aspects of that experience, even though I was 4 and I was unconscious. And I came back and was a little girl again, full of life, but my relationship with the world really changed forever. And a lot of people talk about that when they have these types of experiences. So I saw the world as alive, and I also discovered a bit of a superpower, and that is I could change how I experienced time. I could slow down time for myself. I could arrive on time if I wanted to, even if it seemed impossible. And so the years went by, and I thought about it, and I did it privately. And as the world unfolded and people began to be more accustomed to being able to accept that how we show up in the world, what we think in our minds may affect reality, I began to research it. And in my research, I discovered that we can have a great deal of influence on how we experience time, even physical clock time. And that's how I came to research and write All the Time in the World.
So, Lisa, that's really quite amazing, and it's kind of an unusual field. So tell us a little bit about how you came to your passion and purpose in this, and I know you've applied it to a number of different things throughout your life. How did this work into a book? What was your intention with actually releasing it to the world in book form?
After many years of using it myself, and proving to myself that I could show up on situations and be on time, that I could seem to slow down time for myself, that I could get a tremendous amount done in a very short period of time by using these practices that I was developing, I began to share it with friends and with people who came to me. And so I wanted other people to be able to change their lives by changing their relationship with time. I've continued to research it and build these practices. And after years, I started to write about it in a way that was a practical application of how we can use this information for our daily lives. And it became All the Time in the World.
That's really incredible. So tell us about some of the applications of this. I know you share this with others to really improve their lives and their quality of lives. How does it do that for people?
I'll give an example. A friend of mine was reading the manuscript, and I was working with her, and her mother became very ill, and she needed to go to fly to a different state in a very short period of time to be with a loved one before they left this world. Now, faced with that, a lot of us could feel many things. We could feel incredible sadness. We could feel as though it was impossible. We could be angry that we didn't have enough time, but she didn't do that. Using the practices in the book, she focused on the experience of being with her loved one at their bedside so that she could say goodbye and was able to fly across the country, be there, and say goodbye to her loved one in time. She did that, and I did that with my own mother. And I think it is how we show up for the situation, whether we embrace time as an ally in a situation like that, or whether we're afraid of it and we fight it and we believe that we never have enough of it. Because if you believe the latter, you never will. And if you focus your perception, that's what I call it, focused perception, on single-mindedly experiencing something that you want to experience with respect to time, I think you'll be amazed at the control you do have over the time that you have.
That is so interesting. So for someone just approaching this, and I know you have unbelievable tips and formulas for success in this in your book, and everyone should run out and buy it because it's so powerful. But just share with us a little bit about how people approach this, if this is something new for them.
Well, one of the exercises is, let's say you have a term paper to write or a research paper or something you need to do in business that you think is going to take a lot of time. I do this in my daily life for practices. Instead of being concerned about it ahead of time and avoiding it and not wanting to do it, I do a quick meditation, a quick practice, which is in the book, where I imagine the experience of being done. I live the experience fully that I am completely done with the research project and I'm pressing send on an email or putting the final period on something I need to write or delivering something to someone and it's complete. And then I just let the thought go. And then when it comes to actually doing it, it's as though in my mind how I'm showing up to the situation is that it's already done. And literally, Vicki, when I put the period at the end of the sentence and press send, I had laughed to myself. Because instead of being afraid of it, instead of time being an enemy, it became my ally. And it truly was done, and I had all the time in the world. That's a very practical practice that a lot of people reading the book are using.
Wow, that is really amazing. So what kind of other applications does this have?
The applications are to, it answers this question, and that is, does how we show up in our minds affect how we experience the world in particular time? And if we believe that it doesn't, then of course it won't for us because we all know how powerful belief is. With that said, if we can change our relationship with time, and what this book does is it provides all of the science to help convince maybe even the most skeptical that we have a lot more control over time than we think. I call it the new science of time, which is basically quantum physics, where I am a quantist and I research things in terms of very small particles and how they interact with one another. If we apply all of that to nearly any situation, from completing a paper to being in a car and knowing you may not get to your destination on time, to wanting your day to go quickly as though it were full of joy and flow, we'll call it, all of these things are practical applications of how we can use time as an ally.
That is so interesting. It seems like this would apply to a lot of things in life in addition to time. I guess time is really what it's all about. How does this apply to being singular focused or mindful of time? Is there a similarity or a difference between those two? If you could kind of explain those two concepts and how they might run together.
Well, mindfulness is being present to any situation. And I talk about that in the book. It's necessary for us to show up. And what I learned in my research was people who experienced very dangerous events where they did not become afraid, but they became hyper-aware, hyper-alert, were in this place of mindfulness where it was as though time had slowed or even stopped. There's a wonderful story. Part of my charitable work is I work with a nonprofit called Police to Peace, and we work with policing and police departments around the country on peaceful practices. I was told an amazing story by a police chief who, when he was an officer, was in a gunfight that was very dangerous, and during the gunfight, time slowed down so that he could see the bullets leave the gun, and he could hear the gun go off in slow motion. So very often we're able to experience these things and we don't even know it. But Vicki, what seemed to take over in his mind and happens in so many cases is that this focused perception, as I call it, this extreme state of mindfulness allows us to harness time and not be at the mercy of time. So in that situation, he was able to protect himself, as many people are who are in these dangerous situations, rather than be at the mercy of the situation and otherwise be harmed.
That is really unbelievably powerful. So for people that, again, this is new to, can you explain in very, very simple terms how they can perhaps identify with this, because I know it's very scientifically based, but is there simplistic way that people can start identifying with this?
Well, here's the simplest way, and then I'll use an example. Think of time as a series of individual instants that each occur. It's not a flow. It is an instant occurs and then another instant and another instant. If we're very focused, if we're very mindful, as you say, then how we show up for each instance, what we are thinking, how we feel, has a tremendous amount to do with the reality that's created. That's quantum science. And so I think of it in terms of water. If you were to pour water into a glass, you would see a stream of water with your eye. But if you looked more closely, you would see billions and billions of molecules bumping into one another. Those billions of molecules are like moments bumping into one another. Imagine that we could affect one of those moments so that it's not a stream of time. It's how we are able to do with our perceptions, with our focus, with our mindfulness, affect this particular particle, this particular moment in time, to experience closer to what we want out of life. That is what the book teaches.
So when you compartmentalize it like that, that is not the way the average person looks at time or occurrences. So how do you shift your perception? Can you give any tips on that?
It is about shifting your perception. That's a great question. If we believe that time forever marches forward and we are at the mercy of it, as most people do, then you will be unable to do any of these exercises. What the book does, it spends a little bit of time up front to explain the science in so many ways that shows that time is not what we think. It does not forever march forward. Most scientific theories of time allow for time to run as well forward as backwards in these scientific theories. And Einstein himself had theories, which were the wormhole, which allowed for time travel backwards and forwards. So the book spends an amount of pages, an amount of time, helping the reader get to a place where they can reframe how they think about time. So there's a little opening for them to think, you know, it might be like those water particles that I can influence one. It might be where how I show up in my mind, where I am coming from for every moment, really does affect the moment in a way that I can influence. When you get to that point, Vicki, then you are home free because you are doing the exercises each upon another, such as my friend who was able to see her loved one before she died, and I was able to see my mother before she died using the same technique, showing up to these situations so that we do have this amount of influence. It's also why I chose time, because time may be the easiest thing to influence in this. You know, to make an airplane show up in your backyard or a pickle appear in your lap would be pretty hard. But to slow down time so that you have all of the time in the world to finish your paper, get to your appointment, see your loved one, that is much more straightforward, and the satisfaction of it is even greater.
Wow, again, that is so unbelievably powerful. So I think a lot of people, when they're going through thinking of time, think about outcome a lot. How does the idea that outcome is coming into the thought process and possibly detracting from being present in these really small increments of time, how does that work? How does that shift work?
Well, that's where we get to what many people know of as quantum science. And so quantum science basically says that we are observers in the world, and when we show up to a situation, physical reality is altered. That's quantum science. It's a mystery for the ages, but it's also the latest science. And I think of it as being where physics meets psychology, right? So we are showing up to a situation. We're the observer in science. We show up to a situation and it changes. The real question is, if we believe that, if we can get to a place where that's real for us, which is what the book spends some time doing, then how can we use this knowledge to focus our intentions to experience that moment in the way that we desire? And one of the ways we do it, I have as a practice in the book, is to experience what we want ahead of time, experience our life in advance, experience a moment in advance, and then, of course, just let it go. Don't dwell on it, because we wouldn't want to waste time. What I find in doing the practices for myself over many decades, and other people find, is when they do that, something about them changes. like the observer in the quantum mechanics experiment, the way they showed up for that changed how they experienced it, and they had more time. I'm not sure we'll ever know the mystery of all of this. Certainly time is the biggest problem in physics today. But the book attempts to explain how it might work if all of this were true.
That's really quite incredible. So when you think about the fact that this book is going out to everyone all over the world, for the reader who buys this book, and I hope everyone will do that because it's so powerful, what do you hope they'll be able to take away from reading it?
Time is our ally. We can harness time. Although we don't understand it, and we don't understand why time seems to march forward, although science would say otherwise, we can harness the knowledge of the latest science in order to free ourselves from being at the mercy of time, which so many of us are. And in a way, that's a source of unhappiness, of a lack of joy when we feel under the gun and we never have enough time to do what it is we want to do. The practices in this book have allowed me to do what I want to do with my life, to follow my passion, which is in public service and public safety and working with the police to help them unite with communities. But other people may have other passions that they want where they need more time. This book will free them up to do just that.
Well, it's so wonderful because it's the one thing that we all share in common, and we can't replace it. We can't get it back once that time is gone. So to be able to enjoy all of our time, not just a productive way, but in such an enjoyable way that brings so much, again, productivity to us and to others and so much joy, is really wonderful. And I think it could be world-changing. When you look at this concept and you look at the work that you're doing, when you look at it almost like out there now all over the world globally as it is with your book, if you were to look at that in the way it might be world-changing, almost like a legacy, what would that look like for you?
Well, as they say, we stand on the shoulders of giants, great authors. For millennia, and then most recently, the transformation authors have explored this question in the past. How do we impact reality? How are we part of what happens in terms of our minds? But this book, in particular, may be the first book which explains how that relates to time. And if we are able to harness that, if we are able to have the time we need to do what we want to do, then the world can be more joyous. People can follow their passions. People can create things in their lives that they want to experience for the goodness of themselves and so many others. It could be life-changing and paradigm-changing, and I'd be thrilled to be a part of it.
Oh, that is so beautiful, and again, just so unbelievably powerful. Lisa, thank you so much for being with us today, and I know that people will have questions and will want to know more about you and all the things you offer. So is there a website they can go to connect with you?
Yes, of course, Vicki. It is lisabroderick.com, Lisa, LisaBroderick.com. We'll have all of the information on the book and tips and ways that you can improve your life and have all the time in the world.
Wonderful. And I want to thank you today for the generosity of your time and committing your time to not only this wonderful website with all of these resources, but also putting this book out into the world. Lisa, thank you so much.
Thank you, Vicki.
And for those of you who would like to learn more about Expert Insights, our best-selling books, award-winning magazines, our global broadcast and communities, you can find us at mybookmybiz.com. That's M-Y-B-O-O-K, M-Y-B-I-Z.com. And everyone have a wonderful week.